I'm going to put that in post because...
Oh, thank God.
Because I can't hear my pad.
Oh, I hate it.
You're hearing it.
I am.
But I'm not.
Well, that's so bad. That's bad.
I don't know. Because I think I must have done something when I was doing that call me thing.
I don't know that I made the point that I wanted to make between Google search and MSNBC because we went off on sidetracks there, but I'll let it stand. And I can also get rid of this.
Let it stand.
I will, Adam. I'll just let it stand. I'm going to do this. I'm going to archive all cards in this list. Archive cards. Okay.
Why am I always hungry after we?
I don't know. I got a couple of questions for you.
Okay. What's wrong, buddy? Why are you meowing?
Buddy?
What's wrong?
One of my cats is meowing. I'm not sure which one.
You know, Zach is also your buddy when you talk to people at restaurants.
But Zach
so, well, Zach is your buddy and Iggy. I mean, Ian and Barley are also your buddies.
I have a lot of buddies, Adam.
You're just all buddies, pal.
Yep. I have buddies
What's
for all kinds of things. So I want to talk about the things here. But first, I wanted to know if you heard about Parakeet.
I don't guess I did because I feel like this is going to be something technology related,
yeah.
Not an actual bird.
No, it's
so
not.
So I didn't hear anything about that.
Let me get to the point here. So this is basically NVIDIA has been steadily releasing more and more of its own AI models, mostly open source and free for researchers and developers to take, download, modify, and use commercially. And among the latest of them is Parakeet, TDT-0.6BV2. It's an automatic speech recognition model that can... Okay. Are you ready for this? Transcribe 60 minutes of audio in 1 second. It runs on your local machine using your GPU and it's completely free. So you don't have to pay, like if you're using Whisper, you don't have to pay mm-hmm. for this. This runs on your local machine and it's has a 6.05 error, rate. So, it's 6 out of every 100 words it gets wrong. I didn't know if you had heard about that or not because I was going to set it up on my machine, but it's like it requires PyTorch and something else. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, I don't know how to install that shit. It's like, I was looking at this right before the show and I was like, I'll have to Google.
It's not hard to install
PyTorch, but I don't know what it is. So I have to go find it and install it.
If you have Python, you use pip.
I don't know if I have Python. What's the,
you have to install Python.
If I had first. Python installed, what would I just Py?
No,
just
type P-Y? Python. No, type Python. You probably don't.
When I type in Python, it launches the Microsoft Store and says, here, download Python 3.13.
Sure, you can do that. You can probably do it from the Microsoft Windows Store. But anyway, you do that, you install Python, and with Python, Python's package manager comes along with it.
Pip. Got it.
So then all the things you need like PyTorch and Whisper and or whatever. I mean, I guess not Whisper because you're using some other I think Whisper uses a model behind. Anyway, but so then you're going to install that. You're just using pip. So you just be like pip install.
But I was thinking, oh, that's cool because it's free. So we could.
What I'm doing is free as well. I'm using Whisper, but I'm using the local Whisper.
Oh.
So it's the open source one or whatever.
Right.
That's free.
Well, this one has a better error rate. Anyway, but my point is I could actually do that. I could actually write a script that grabs all of our old level 13, whatever, and makes transcripts and then sends those transcripts to a blog post writing agent that basically will write show notes for all of those podcasts.
Yes. All of that is possible. You would have to do, if you're just feeding in an entire show episode, you would have to do where diaritization or something. You have to teach it your voice and my voice so it knows who's talking. So there's a separate thing you have to do to train it on our voices so that it knows. And I don't know, for the voicemails, I don't know who. It would just probably think it was one of us talking. But
that's not going to matter in the...
Unless we train it on our voicemails.
I mean, you got to remember that when you're writing show notes, it's just like they talk about this, they talk about that. I don't think it matters if it knows who said what. It's just that we talked about something. You know what I'm saying? It's like what we're looking for is the highlights. We're not looking for a perfect transcription. We just want the... On this episode...
They won't know. Daniel talked about blah because they don't know who's who. Adam talked about his trip to Vegas. They won't know that unless you train it on the voices.
And yet, when I give it our show and I give it the prompt that I give it, which is, I give it the full transcription. I say, hey, this is the transcription. These are the people, blah, 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 I think when you do the transcription, though, you're doing it off our individual tracks and then merging them, right?
Yeah.
So that's how it, it doesn't need to be trained on our voice because it already knows who said what.
Because I couldn't get that one working.
Right.
I tried to do that, but I couldn't get it to work.
Right.
It was having a problem with my graphics card or something. And
all right. So I have, I've been playing around with some of the new models and stuff. And so I was like, oh, well, I have Gemini Pro because of my Pixel. So I have all these deep research things. And so I sent to the deep research thing the other day. I'm like, hey, I do this podcast with my friend Adam. And this is what we talk about. This is the kind of things that we do, we would like, I'd like some suggestions on how to increase our listenership. So ask me as many questions as you feel necessary so you have a complete understanding of our show and the, how I want to expand the listenership. And so it asked a bunch of questions and I answered them and then it put together this document. I'm going to share it with you now, Adam. I'm going to share it with you now.
Okay.
It's in Google Drive. I've shared it with you. It's called Growing the Gay Mix, a strategic guide to expanding your podcast listenership. So Adam,
we have like a business plan here. It's 25 pages.
We do. Adam, the Gay Mix, a personal journal podcast hosted by two gay men in tech, offers a unique blend of technology, travel, camping, running, and pop culture discussions. It's live interactive recording format, published weekly as both video and audio. By the way, did you take us off YouTube?
Yes, I did.
And presents distinct opportunities for audience growth. This guide provides actionable strategies tailored to the Gay Mix, focusing on leveraging its niche appeal, maximizing content through social media, exploring cost-effective advertising, building a strong foundational presence, and tracking progress to expand its listenership. So here you go. There's the roadmap for us, Adam, right here. And as I read through it,
leverage your unique position, the gay man in tech niche.
As I read through it, I realized, that means we're going to have to join discussion groups. And I'm like, can we just pay somebody to do this? Can we just hire someone to do this shit? Right. Like, could we write an AI agent that joins these chat rooms for us and, says, hey, cool, bro, that sounds great. And then, after it's gained everyone's trust, then it's like, by the way, I talked about this on my last podcast episode. Kind of like thing. But it's got some good, thoughts in there. But then I'm like, you know what, Adam, I think we're operating on assumptions. And I know that we had talked about making a questionnaire for our listeners or potential listeners.
We could do a week like Fatty does, where but it would be like a month for us because he does five episodes. We could do like a month. But we could have census, not census, but you know how he does the census.
Right. Yeah, I know. No, it's like, yeah, we can do it. Yeah, we can do that. We can do a whole thing. Make sure you get your surveys in. We've got.
We
this
need a
many
bumper.
Surveys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like we can do all that. But what's more important, Adam, is we need to know what we're going to ask. So I've shared with you.
I don't know.
I've shared with you my rough draft of the Gay Mix listener questionnaire.
I think this is a good idea. I want to say that first off, but I want to tell you, I have to do surveys so much for my job because I'm a product.
I know. And they suck.
I mean, I have to send out surveys and like come up with measurable questions and so. So that's, but
I only wanted 10 questions. So this is only 10 questions. Actually, it's 11, but I think
10 is quite a lot to ask of people.
But here you go, Adam. They're all just, you know, they're not paragraphs. You don't have to write an essay for each one. It's basically just a multiple choice thing. I don't think 10 multiple choices is too much. Anyway, here's the questions. Question number one, our episodes are typically 90 plus minutes long. Do you feel this is too long, about right, or too short?
Okay.
Then I had this 11th question here, which is an optional follow-up.
Why did you lead with the with the negative?
I that's not a negative.
No. You said too long, just right, or...
Oh, I don't... Just because that's how it...
Okay.
That's how Gemini gave it to me. Anyway, this optional question here, which I kind of like the question though, what would you consider a good length for a podcast? It's like, you know, I'm just curious. What do you think a good length for a podcast is? And then I'm just like, please rate the following segments of the show. And so you're either going to rate them as great, good, okay, or skip. Right? So there's the main discussion. Mm-hmm. There's the contact segment, news quiz, birthdays, running segment, and technology segment. So those are the segments that we can, just see what do people like, what do they don't like. And then I said, I was concerned that maybe sometimes we get too much in the weeds on things. So I was just like, sometimes our discussions get quite technical. Do you find the level of technical detail about right? Too technical, not technical enough, or I fast forward when it gets too technical or other.
Okay. Is there a box for them to? Okay.
Yes, there is. The next one is topics to add. Are there any specific topics or types of discussions that you wish we would talk about more on the show? Are there any specific topics or types of discussions that you wish we talk less or spend less time on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Approximately what percentage of a typical episode of The Gay Mix do you listen to? 100%, 75%. Now, this is a question you could convince me to just get rid of this question because I don't know.
I would get rid of it because shorter the better. The shorter the better for surveys. We'll get rid of this.
I don't know how to get rid of this question. Oh, there it is. It's a trash can. All right, it's gone. All right. So this is what I want to know. How regularly do you listen to The Gay Mix? Every new episode, most new episodes, some new episodes, or rarely. It's fair, right?
It's fair, but what does it tell us? Like,
so we could wait. We can wait their answers. Like, if there's something that someone that listens every week wants us to talk more about, then that's true. You know. How you listen? How do you primarily consume The Gay Mix? Select all that apply. Audio while commuting, audio while doing chores and activities, audio while relaxing, video like a TV show, or video while doing other things. So that's right. Or other.
Okay.
And then these two down here, I feel like, you know, it's fine. People don't have to fill these out or whatever. What do you enjoy most? What do you enjoy most about listening to the Gay Mix? And then the last one is just additional feedback. Please provide any other comments. So it's like, you know, most people skip the additional feedback and everything. So if you take away additional feedback, it's really now we're down to, you know, I'll just get rid of this. What would you consider a good length of a podcast? I could probably Google that. There's probably people already know that. All right. So there's show links.
You know, we discuss that a lot, but I don't know. Well, I know a couple of people in the Pride 48 network that talk about length of podcasts, but most people who listen to podcasts are always looking for more.
I know.
Content, not less.
I know. I ran out. When I came back from camping, I was out of podcasts. It was like I had to go download an episode of Gayish.
So if I like something, I want more of it.
Yeah.
If I don't like it, I'm not going to listen to it. So I never understand that.
I listened to the edging episode of Gayish and I felt like it was so boring. It was just like, this is something I actually care about. I actually care about this topic. You felt like
there was no climax?
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like it wasn't even a good edging session. Anyway, I mean, we can rearrange these questions.
They were mentioned in Oprah's Favorite Things, Daniel.
Okay. All right, I feel like these are... chat room, you heard these questions. Are any of them, do any of them sound like, I mean, they're not required. None of these are required. I just want to know, what will I learn from this? What we will learn from this, Kathy Marshall, is our, oh shit. I don't want to remove that.
Is our oh shit.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the things that people want to hear? Doing the length of show that people want us to do?
Right.
What are there things that we could be talking about or doing that would make people happier? Because maybe that would help us also attract new listeners as well if we tweak things.
Right.
So the thought process is ask your current listeners what you're doing well and what you could do better so that that will also benefit new listeners.
Correct. That's what we may come along from it, Kathy Marshall. Also, in 20 years, I don't think we've ever asked people to fill out a questionnaire.
Well, because I don't care, really.
I do. I want to know.
I care, but I can't do a podcast. I have to do my own podcast. I can't, like, skew myself because it's my hobby.
Right.
Like, I'm not... So it's I've always been like I can't please everyone. But so there's I'll just do whatever
and there's
the
nothing in there's nothing in here about changing anything. It's just like I when I talk about, you know, are there specific topics that you want us to talk about more or less? It's like sometimes I talk about camping, sometimes I don't. It's like I don't know if people want to hear more about, you know, the escapades that happen at a gay campground or not. I don't know. It's like you know,
where the honey holes are.
That's right. So or are there people that want to talk about less? It's like, you know, I hate it when you guys talk about this. I wish you would. And if it was something...
I tell you what.
We will just talk about it more then. But I want to know.
If Fatty had a survey.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't enjoy the episodes where people are having sex in the background. Because it makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen often.
Like when he's... No, it doesn't. Just when he's at the horror hotel. But I feel... It's like, how is he podcasting right now?
It's like, he's taking a break. Maybe he already...
What is going on? What is going on right now?
He already came and now he's
oh, you
break.
Guys, don't worry about me. I'm just going to... Yes, Big Fatty. Mm-hmm. And then they're back there. How would you even stay in the mood listening to Poodle McNoodle? Poodle McNoodle is commentating your blowjob.
I kind of... The other thing that we would learn, Kathy Marshall, I feel like, is we're putting effort into making a video version of the show. And is anyone even watching the video? Like, do people watch the video? Or are they just, you know, listening to the audio and we shouldn't even worry about the video? I didn't ask about it. Yes, one Kathy question. Marshall, I did. One question I asked about it.
Hasn't a dog ever watched me have sex? What?
Sydney?
How is that? Well, first of all, I hope not, because that makes me feel icky as well. But I don't, it's not that I don't understand how having someone watch me have sex.
You've never like been masturbating and you have to tell your cat related. To go away?
Yeah, but how is that related to me not wanting to hear people having sex behind him on a podcast? I don't see how those two things are related.
Maybe people like being watched.
Well, but it's not about them. I'm a listener of the podcast. I would do that. I would be a participant in that. But I'm saying as a listener, it's not, I'm listening to Big Fatty and it feels awkward somehow.
So I came up with this thought in my head.
And you said thought.
I did. I said thought. Come around here.
Where do thoughts normally happen in your head?
They do. So I recently started playing another D&D game. And this one is the one that Seder is doing. So I'm playing D&D with Michael Cantaloupe and Seder. But it's only every other week. And I can't even play this week because Zach's birthday. But it got me to think. And the reason that Scott is running this game is because he wants to DM. He wants to, you know, that's the hardest part about playing D&D is finding a DM. And... But at DMing, it's very hard to do. It's very hard to do. And it's hard to practice DMing because you're going to be putting people through, you know, hold on, wait, let me look that up. Oh, wait, what I said? What I just said? No. Okay, no. You don't have, you know what I'm saying? It's like you make all kind of mistakes and because you're trying to learn the flow and everything. And so I sat down with my buddy, ChatGPT, and I said, hey, if I wanted to learn how to be a better DM, could you be like a group of players, like with different personalities and like, you know, could you be an adventuring party? And it was like, hell yeah, I can do that. So I set up a project because that has the shared area. Mm-hmm. And, I sat down and I gave it some instructions on what I wanted it to do and how I wanted it to respond and stuff. And I created a D&D game. I have four players. Would you like to know who my players are?
I would love to know who your players are.
I have a lovely lady named Morgan. She is a creative writing major who got into D&D through Critical Role. She lives for backstory, character voices, and dramatic monologues. And when I asked them to, introduce themselves, I said, just give me a statement like you're, in your distinct voice, right? Like give me a sample of your personality in a sentence or two. And so she said, okay, so I wrote this 6-page backstory for Tizzy and wait, do you want the short version or the really short version? Also, I brought snacks. So that was her. So that's Morgan.
So are you doing, did you do like a GPT and then you gave it these as the instructions?
It's a project.
Our project.
I set the project instructions on how I wanted them to think. Okay. And then,
It's similar to that.
Yeah, it's similar. So, my second player's name is Trevor. He's a classic gamer bro who started playing D&D in college with a bunch of his friends in a dorm basement. He knows the rules, but he loves combat more than role play. And in his statement was, right, so Varnak's got a +7 to hit, and I'm going full great weapon master. If there's a ladder to climb or a skull to crack, I'm on it. Right, so that's Trevor. And then I have Jesse. Jesse is a they, them. Jesse is a theater kid turned graphics designer. They love role play, voices, and emotionally intense scenes. Their dice are color coordinated with their mood. Their statement is, I absolutely seduced the Duke. Wait, what do you mean there's no Duke? Fine. Who's the most powerful person in the tavern right now? And then finally, I have a lovely older gentleman named Brandon. Brandon is the group's quiet rule guy and moral compass. He's a dad of two. He works in IT, and he finds D&D to be his chill, creative outlet.
Did you have any women?
I had one woman, one man. Well, one woman, two men, and a non-binary.
Oh, okay.
All right. So then I introduce myself to them, and I'm like, hey, you're going to be playing D&D. We're going to roll some characters and all that stuff. And they were all into it. And so then I gave them all the general rules on how to roll a character and what I was going to be going by them one by one. They were going to roll their characters, decide their race and thing. And then I would ask them questions about their abilities and stuff as I'll build their character sheet for them and roll 20. So I'll be asking them questions as they roll the characters. So she rolled her character. She decided that she wanted to play Tizzy Pendlebranch, a gnome wizard. So then after we got all of her stats and everything set up and her physical details, she's 3'1" tall. She weighs 38 pounds. She has bright amber eyes, and she has wild pink hair. I was like, okay, what I want is a small, little backstory for your character, which she wrote for me, and go ahead and give me a headshot of your character that I can use for the token on roll 20. So she generated a picture of her character. So, and she wrote a little backstory for her character. And then I moved on to the next person. And then all I had to say was like, all right, basically everything, all the same questions. And so it was much faster on the second one. The gamer bro decided to play a dwarf fighter, blah, blah, blah. And he gave me his character. And then the graphic designer wanted to play a bard. And so she's playing they're playing a half elf bard, but the bard is a female. Got all her stuff done, all of the bard stuff done. And then, the IT dad, like he's playing a bugbear, cleric. But I had told them that they had to restrict it to certain books, and bugbear, I couldn't find it. He claimed that, oh, well, the bugbear is definitely in the book that you said. So that's okay.
That could be hallucinated.
It was. So then I said to him, you know what? I'm not seeing this. It's like, I'm not finding bugbear in the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide, but I
can. Oh, you're absolutely right, Daniel.
There you go. He said, you're right to check. It turns out bugbear wasn't actually in the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. It was added as a playable race in Volo's Guide to Monsters and later reworked into Monsters in the Multiverse, but neither of those are part of your allowed source material. Blah, blah, blah. But I had told him, but it's cool. If you can just give me the stats, I'll put it in as a custom race, and which he did and stuff. Anyway, so then we played a game, Adam. We started playing a game. We went through
one. Did you have fun?
Yeah, we went through one chapter of a module, and I realized it kind of took the pressure off because I knew I was have to look up stuff and then figure out what to tell them. And if I tell these people, forget what I just said, they literally will forget what I just said. So it's like, I don't have to. And I also built into my overall instructions that if I precede anything with at Pluto, then I'm talking to the underlying LLM and the characters shouldn't know any, the players' personas shouldn't know anything about what I'm talking about. So if I wanted to ask, hey, can I do such and such, blah, blah, blah. I would be asking ChatGPT something instead of asking the player personas. Otherwise, so I realized pretty quickly that I would give them a scenario. They would say what they wanted to do. And then they would say, like, would you like us to do such and such? And I immediately put a kibosh on that. I'm like, okay, when you answer, stop. Don't prompt me to say anything else. Just answer the question. I don't need a follow-up. And I tried.
Actually, I need to put that in my settings for ChatGPT, just in general.
And then I also told him, all right, also, if you don't have anything to say, you don't have to. Like, because I noticed all four players were always commenting on every single thing that I said. It's like, you know, if you don't have anything to add, then don't. It's fine. It's not a problem, right?
I wonder if it could play other board games, just like tell you what move to make.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You were asking if it could play 21, like if it could play blackjack with you. Yeah, it could absolutely play blackjack with you. But so here's what I found really worked, and here's what I found really lacked. Combat worked really well. Combat worked really well because I'm going one player at a time, one NPC at a time. What didn't work very well was the group. And that is, you give them a scenario. Let me give you an example. I told them where they were at. It's like, all right, so you're in this pub, the Yawning Portal, and blah blah blah. What do you want to do? And I describe the building and all that stuff, and then so each one of them says stuff, but they all kind of contradict, right? It's like, so it's like Tog. That's his character. Tog takes quiet comfort in a steady hum, and he often seated near a wall, sipping weak ale. And then the other one's like, Sarah is going to go up on the stage and, perform. And then this other one is like, I'm just looking at things on the wall. And the other one is like, it's like, all right, but I need you to be sitting around the same table. Like you're a party. Like you should, it's like, we're all sitting around the table and, blah, 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 blah. And then they each have to add in their thing. It just gets really tedious for each of them to have to throw. And so so at that point in time, I asked ChatGPT itself. I'm like, hey, is there a way I can get these player personas to talk to each other?
You need agents.
And I know, that's exactly.
You need each player to be its own agent.
Can they talk to each other and then just give me a consensus of what they want to do, right? And so it later in the game, it kind of approached doing that, but I still was having to read every player's interactions, and then the consensus was, okay, well, we've decided
agents
to
can talk to each
but
other.
You can't agents in the web version of ChatGPT. Like, and then I would have to write a program.
You'd have to write it
to do it. Right?
Well, you wouldn't. You could use an automation like that maker or whatever that thing that you were saying I should try.
Yeah,
you can do that. You can create agents in that.
Right. But yeah, you're right. Each player should be an agent, and then they talk to each other, and then they, come up with the concept. But honestly, it got better, and I tweaked some of my instructions with them. Whatever. The most disappointing thing to me was I thought in a ChatGPT project, every new chat you create in that project shared memory.
Yeah,
because that would be the reason that you put them together in a project, right? Yeah. Why else would you put multiple chats together in a project unless you wanted them to have shared memory? But no, they only share the instruction and the file section. So they'll share the file section and they'll share the instructions, the overall instructions. But each new chat is its own silo of information.
I wonder if that's different for Plus members, because I know they recently expanded memory. I thought you stopped paying.
I started again. So I am a Plus member. But the because what I thought was, oh, I'll just make a new chat for each new session, right? Because the module that I'm running them through is like four chapters. So I just figured, I'll just make a new chat for each chapter.
Yeah.
So what I've decided to do is put all their character sheets in the shared file system and their personality bios, put those in the file section, leave the instructions the same. And then at the end, I can ask the one chat to give me a detailed recap of what they did in that session. And then I post that in a brand new chat and go, okay, this is what you've done so far.
Why don't you just create a GPT? Because
when
you create a GPT, you can give it all that in the instructions and it remembers those.
That's not going to help me with new chats. What I was looking for was so that everything didn't have to, so that the entire game didn't have to be in one chat, so that I could do a session zero in this chat and a session one. So that way I could go back and look at it, right? And instead of just scrolling forever, and just have it more organized or whatever. Anyway, that's not how it, regardless, the way that I came up with is working fine for me. But what I've realized is that, I think I need ChatGPT more than I need the players for this next chapter, because it's one of those free-floating chapters where it's like they could do a bunch of different things. Uh-huh. And depending on what they do, I've got to have the right maps and characters, sheets and stuff. And so I feel like it can, you know, I'm not asking my players right now. I'm asking more ChatGPT itself. It's like, hey, can you make me a map of this kind of, you know, like of a store that has a counter and, you know, some things behind it, and make it on a 10 by 10 grid. And, you know, and then I'm going into Roll 20 and setting up a new map and then pulling characters over onto that map, because there's the module on Roll 20 has already given me all the characters, but it's a pain in the ass to find them. So like I'm finding the right ones and putting them in. So like if they walk into the magic shop, I can just move them to the magic shop map and it's already got all the stuff on it that I need. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's probably, if I were actually DMing a live game, a real game, that's what I would be using the AI for, is like setting up all the possible encounters so that I can, and also like giving me cheat codes.
You could have two windows open at once.
Yeah.
As well.
But on top of that, all I'm trying to say is that, you know, right now I've only taken them through one chapter, and that one chapter was very linear. And as I read ahead on the second chapter to see what I was going to be doing in that next chapter, I realized is like, oh, well, they could go in a bunch of different ways. And I don't know. You know, there's like, if they do this, then you're going to have to do this. And if they go here, then this happens, right? And if they go there, that happens. And so it's like, I just need to have all those things ready, because if I was in a real game, I would want to have those things already set so that they're not sitting around waiting for me to come up with, you know.
Well, the good thing is it's an AI.
I know. So yeah, they'll wait forever.
They're not waiting.
You could come
back 3 days later.
Oh yeah, no, I left them hanging. Last time I played D&D with them, chapter one ended like last weekend. So it's like they've been sitting there for, you know, they're not even eating. They're not pooping or eating or anything at them.
Not doing anything. Just patiently staring at the wall, waiting on you.
That's right.
To make the next move.
But that's what makes it so great. And that I think is a really cool thing, to be able to learn to DM with no real stakes. Like I'm learning to be a better DM, but I'm making mistakes on people that don't matter. Like,
so ChatGPT is playing blackjack with me.
Yes.
I have an 8 and a 9.
Yes.
The dealer's up card is 7.
Stay.
Stand, hit me with another card, or double down. So I want to stand.
Yes.
So then, bold move, Adam. Standing strong on a 17. Let's see what your fate is. Dealer hits a 5. The dealer's new total is 21.
Boo! Oh, and that 5 would have given you a 21.
So dealer's hand, 7, 9, and then he hits. Sorry, 7. He gets a 9, or he had a 9. So 16, and then he hit.
He has to hit.
He got a 5, and then he got 21.
Well, yeah, you would have busted. Yeah. So that fight, though, it was a good move. You would have lost.
That's true. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20. Yeah, I would have had 22. So So it can do all kinds of, I even asked it the other day. This is just the preach about AI. Sorry, level 13ers. This is the preach about AI section.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I even asked it, can you transcribe music? And it was able to take a PDF of music and transcribe it and give me back an image of music. It wasn't perfect, but I was shocked that it was able to do it at all.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're going to be announcing a bunch of stuff at Google I/O because we've been given a new preview model on Gemini that's for Google I/O next week. So it's really good at coding and some other stuff. But yeah, it's kind of, I expect a lot of things. You know what? The one thing that Gemini did that I wish the other ones did, in Google Sheets, are you familiar with the AI function?
No, I don't. I haven't used any of the AI that's built in. So
yeah.
No.
So in Google Sheets, you can, and you know, Google Sheets is where things go, like the forms, like when the forms get filled out, they would go into a Google Sheet. Like when our voicemails come in, they go in, I mean, our text messages come in, they go into a Google Sheets and everything.
Yes.
You can set up a formula in a column that is equal AI and then give an instruction and then tell it what cell to operate off of. So you could basically be like, hey, AI, classify this text as positive, neutral, or whatever the text is in cell A2 or whatever, right? So it's like, then every time that a new text comes in, it'll have a, you know, an AI classification. We can classify tone. We could classify, you know, is it positive? Is it negative? We could, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm playing with it now.
So I just thought that was really cool. And you can also do it on a range of cells. It doesn't have to just be a single cell. You can give it a range of cells and have it do stuff on that and stuff. And I was thinking to myself, like, I wish Copilot had this in Excel. I wish I could do this in Excel. It's like, that would be very helpful.
Well, didn't they, I mean, they did add, AI to some of the, did they not add AI Copilot
there is, to Excel? There is a Copilot in Excel and it sucks. It is so bad. It does not help you at all.
Oh.
Oh yeah, that's right. Kathy Marshall broke the story on The Geeky Gay that she used ChatGPT to pick the winner of the So-So story. But we don't know who the winner is because I don't think he's announced it yet.
No, I don't think so either. Who is it? Who's the winner?
Who's the winner? We
tell
need to
us
know.
Here. Level 13ers right. will be the first to know.
This isn't public.
Only people who listen to it's not. It's not a very big audience. Really.
Literally, who is it?
It's Tony and Tony. And Lamont and Kathy. That's it.
That's right. Yeah,
they're the only ones that would. And Kathy already knows.
Yeah, you already know. So it's really, when you think about that, it's just two people.
Yeah.
It's like
not even really.
When you think about it, it would be irresponsible not to tell us, really.
We only have a couple of brain cells between us at the moment.
We forget everything. So telling us is like nothing anyway. So literally, when you get right down to it, you're only telling Lamont Cranston. So I feel like he can keep
and
the
Lamont's already asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
So he won't even hear.
I was doing something. Oh, I wanted to unlist our YouTube video.
I thought you already did that.
I made it public.
Oh, you listed it. So, okay, here's a question. How are we advertising this survey? Are we just talking about it on the show?
Yeah, we are going to, on the show.
And then where are we going to put the link?
We are going to hopefully do a mixminuspodcast.com/survey or survey.mixminuspodcast.com, whatever, you know, it'll be a memorable URL, and that is how we will do it. But we could make a QR code if you wanted to. I feel like we could also ask Fatty to mention it. We could also ask other friends.
What are his advertising rates?
I don't know, but we could ask other friends of ours to maybe mention it on their show so that, you know, that like, and I feel like we should maybe do it for like a month. Like give up.
Better way to announce the survey is to work it into Fatty's intro.
Exactly. We can just, every time we talk about Fatty on the next month's worth of shows.
That's a good idea.
Right.
I bet he would play along with that.
Yeah, exactly.
If we like mention Fatty and then go,
right.
And by the way, you can take our survey.
I was talking to Big Fatty at survey.mix-podcast.com and he was saying that,
that
he loves to shart in his pants. In fact, he prefers it. He prefers to shart in his pants.
The thought of him sharting in his pants mortifies me because all I can think of is something dribbling down his leg because he doesn't wear underwear. So there's nothing to catch anything. And you know, a shart is not. I wonder if anyone's had like one of those rabbit pellet sharts where you thought you were farting, but it, a pea popped out or, you know, like a little pellet. So it's not a,
yeah, no, I've had the, I thought I was farting and I shat my pants. That's happened.
Yeah. But it was, but it was like diarrhea. It was like, well, I don't want to go into too much detail, but if you shart, generally it's not solid.
Right. I need to, speaking of excretion, I need to pee. I'll be right back.
Okay. If I was super quiet, I guess the noise removal would just cut this part out, but LinkedIn is sending me senior software engineer job from Rocketbot. No, thank you. Well, maybe thank you, but no. I have a haircut in the morning and it's been, well, not in the morning, tomorrow afternoon, but I have to leave in the morning. And it's been 8 weeks. And this is about the longest I've ever gone. Other than COVID, when COVID first started, when the lockdown first started, I couldn't go for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, but, this is 2 months. It's a long time. So yes. So Kathy says, do things get unstable? Yes. The problem is because I don't take mine off ever. And they only do that at the place because I don't want to deal with that bullshit. And so when it starts to get unstable, as you put it, when I sleep at night, because your head is pressed up against a pillow, it will move around a little bit. And so in the morning, I have to go and like, go over to the mirror and, you know, look in the mirror and kind of readjust things. And like when I shampoo and fix my hair and all that, sometimes I have to kind of like push it over. Normally within a 4 week period, that does not happen. Cause I normally get it cut every 4 weeks, it's perfectly stable, but you get to about week 6.5 to 7. And you start to get some migration of things, not to the point that it would come off, you know, or anything like that. But if you're like sleeping on it, you know, it can get pushed around. So that's where I'm at the moment. I'm definitely there. So I won't be surprised if I wake up in the morning and it's over on one side of my head or something. Usually it's not that much. Usually it doesn't move that much, but yes, I am desperate for a haircut. I am.
Okay. I'm back.
Okay. Welcome back. Everything come out okay?
It did. I was peeing. So you know.
Good.
I feel like maybe. Let me see what else I had. Maybe there was something else I put on the. See, we talked about the NVIDIA thingy. We talked about the questionnaire. We talked about suggestions.
We did. My psychiatrist moved offices, and I'm switching with her. And for some reason, the first two appointments are going to be $200 a piece.
Oh, wow.
They said it was something about my deductible, but I thought I was already paying like $35 for her at the other place. So I don't know why. I do have an HSA account. So, and I've got enough money in it that I can just reimburse myself or I could pay with that. But it just seems like a lot.
Oh, it does.
And we only talk for like 10 minutes. She goes, "How you doing?" I'm like, I'm a blah, 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 you know, I'm, you know, scale of 1 to 10, all that kind of stuff. And then she's like, "Oh, I think we need to up the dosage of this. We need to lower the dosage of this. I'll call them in. Thank you." And that's it. Yeah. And we're done. $200.
Oh, I just.
She's basically a drug dealer.
Well, yeah, I did the same thing this week, right? For every 7 months, I have to pay a psychiatrist $150 to, reapprove me for medical marijuana. And that's the racket, right? It's like every 7 months you have to give them freaking, $150, and every year you have to give the state $75.
I wonder if she can do that.
Yeah, of course she can.
I should tell her. I should be like, "Hey, it helps me. I'm a lot less anxious."
But don't you?
Because the reason,
I mean, you have because you're going to Missouri.
Yeah.
So Arkansas has medical.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, the benefit is medical is cheaper. It's the same stuff. It's just you if you look, you know, when you go to the dispensary there, you'll see there's one price for retail and there's one price for medical. But yeah, because it's. I think there's like a 20% tax on the recreational.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, I have to go. I'm going back to my psychiatrist next week.
Then ask her, yeah.
But yeah, because it's been a while and I'm almost out of pills. And daddy's got to get his pills.
Gotta get my pills.
Actually, I want her to increase one of them because there was one that I was experimenting and I increased the dosage for like a month. And that month was the best that I felt.
Well, there you go.
But then I decreased it back to the normal amount because I thought I was going to run out and I kind of went the other direction. So I wanted to bump it up like one level above what I was.
Right.
So I want to go like two.
So Kathy two Marshall, up, at least in Florida, medical doctors rarely write medical marijuana. It's almost always psychiatrist because they literally are mills, right? A lot of these places here have a thing. It's $175 the first time, right? So it's $175 and they'll give you a refund if you don't get approved. So it's literally just, they're basically saying, "We're confident enough that that we'll be able to write you a license that, you know, if we can't, if you don't get it, then it won't cost you anything." But yeah, none of them are like, I know psychiatrists are medical doctors, but they don't have a medical practice. So in the same way. But yeah, most of them are psychiatrists.
Well, anyway, I can ask her. I probably won't because I'll probably chicken out. But
yeah, I mean, or you can just do like I did. Just you literally Google it and you find one of those places that is like, it's this, and we guarantee you'll get it or you get a refund. And it's like you just go. Literally, all they do, you walk in, you fill out some forms, you go sit down, and the psychiatrist that's sitting there, her whole game, like the whole game is to listen to what you say and to figure out how it can fit into one of the approved areas for medical marijuana. So she's like, so in my case, she asked a couple of questions and then locked on to the fact that we had recently had a big automobile accident. She's, so do you ever get anxious when you drive and you see brake lights in front of you? Like, does that make you very anxious? You know, because we just were in a, you know, in a big accident. It's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, it does. And that's an honest thing, right? It's like,
I was in a plane crash.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You had a plane crash. They'll write you a script. It's like, you're not on camera. You'd have to come to the, look, it's Zach.
Oh, hi.
You can tell it's Zach because it says Zach from Taylorville, yep. Illinois.
It's backwards. So it probably says because.
Hello.
Oh,
it's not your birthday yet. No. That's tomorrow night at midnight. Yeah. I just gave the boys some chicken. I haven't seen him. Okay. Well, he just got his medicine today. The cats had to go to the vet today, so they were traumatized. Going to the vet.
Is that why you gave them chicken?
Little treats, the little chicken chewy treats kind of a thing. It's like a raw hide, but it's chicken.
Right? Recording stopped.
Oh.
Well, I guess Zoom is stopped.
Okay,
recording.
Then. It said recording space insufficient.
Oh, you were recording to the cloud?
No, I thought it was local, but I don't know. Wherever it was recording to, it's insufficient, so it's fine. We don't need any record. We don't need this. I should have turned it off anyway.
That's right. Craig is recording this. I didn't even hit record. So if Craig doesn't record it,
I'm also recording audio of this because when I stream, it records audio.
Yeah, that's fine. But what I was going to say, Adam.
Yeah.
Is level 13 only had 1 week off because I had given them the bonus episode of Three's a Crowd. Oh, it's your 3D printer is printing a duck right now.
It is. 11 and a half hours for that duck.
What's the big box that it's also printing?
It's a purge tower. It uses it to purge the old... When it's purging filament to change colors, it uses that tower to make sure everything's flowing correctly before it goes over to the thingamabob.
So what kind of duck is this?
It's also got a hat, but it's yellow with a black beak. I'm really trying. It was more of an experiment. You see the supports?
Yeah.
I'm trying a different type of support because I wasn't happy with the way the supports were coming off.
I see.
So really, I'm just printing it just to test out a different support.
This is exciting for the
it is
level 13.
It's all about supports, chat room. It's all about supports. Well, I'm gonna have to go soon anyway because I have a haircut.
Okay, well then go. Goodbye. I didn't know you had a haircut.
No.
Goodbye, Adam.
You don't have to end it.
Level 13. So second. Nice to chat with you. Have a nice evening. Goodbye.